thank you for checking out the Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
All right. I was telling the team beforehand, it's always a little strange introing, segueing into a video where you see yourself again and then coming out. But thank you for being gracious. Some of you, if you're visiting for the first time, I'm not in every video, okay? I do want to mention that. But hey, I'm so glad that you're here. Can I tell you, this series has a special touch on it. It's a series called Why We Do What We Do, and our heart behind this series is sharing for you or uncovering the vision of Hillside. But if I can say this, more than a vision of Hillside, you need to know this, it's rooted in the vision of Jesus. And so more than anything you get about our church, may I remind you, if you are a follower of Christ, we're called to be committed to his vision. And so the last couple weeks, 2 weeks ago, I kicked the series off talking about why we do what we do. Comes down to Matthew chapter 28, really verses 18 through the end of the chapter. And it talks about Jesus' vision. His final words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew to his disciples were basically, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. We call that, as a church family, we call that reaching people, building lives. Can you say that with me? Reaching people, building lives. I know you're going to be grateful when pastors make a guarantee, but I guarantee you, at the end of your days, the priorities that you have are going to be, as a follower of Christ, as you finish well, which you will finish well. And I want to let you know, when you're lying there, you're going to look back and you're going to have said, man, did I go and make disciples? I'm going to tell you, the answer will be yes, because you did. But that's a priority for us. That's the measuring stick. Really, when it gets down to it, it doesn't matter. If everything was exactly the way we wanted. No. Was it that I was sold out to the cause and to the vision of Christ? So 2 weeks ago, we kicked that off. It was a good message. I'm a little biased, but it was a good message. You can catch it online if you haven't heard it before. Or last week, I continued that vision, and I talked a little bit about how we do what we do. And in each of these messages, you can apply them to your personal life. You can actually find all throughout Scripture the subject of vision and the theme of vision. Everybody God called, God gave a vision to. Everybody God called, God gave a vision to. Adam and Eve, Sarah and Abraham, Queen Esther, the prophet Jeremiah, Daniel, King David, Noah, all throughout Scripture, God made them on purpose for a purpose. And if nobody's ever told you that before, you've been created for such a time as this. That God has a purpose. It may be a little foggy in your life. You may be a little phased. You may be a little overwhelmed by the waves that are crashing in. You may have lost your course a little bit. But let me bring it back in to you today and let you know that you're not an accident. You're not just taking up Earth's oxygen without a purpose or plan needlessly. No, God's given you life, and he has a vision, and he has a future for your life. Scripture is very clear, where there is no vision, some of you can answer this for me, the people perish. I look back at some of the times in my life when I lacked vision or I lacked purpose, it was kind of like, Mondays were a drag. But how many of you, since finding Christ, Monday's your favorite day? I thought that would go over well. It did. All right, I'm glad. No, I mean this sincerely. You are not visionless. You've been given a vision. You've been given a purpose. And God has a calling and a purpose for your life. Today, I'm going to take some time, and I'm going to unpack three words. Created to contribute. Three words. Created to contribute. Around midday on January 20th, 1961, nobody saw it coming, but the most inspirational and perhaps famous words of the 20th century American history era took place. It was a speech by one of the younger presidents of the United States, JFK. And he was about to say some of the most often quoted words that you and I probably grew up hearing. He said this, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." A senator that was present noted that those 17 words changed the trajectory of people's lives. He said almost immediately the entire nation received a lift. People personally who had no vision now began to grapple with the words that he said. People in the 60s, there was a generation who had grown up in families that had experienced a recession, a national depression. They were born into World War II and all the trauma that unfolded. Many of them could list a loved one who had served overseas in the military and gone to fight with the Allied troops. And the nation, in many ways, was visionless. And it's fascinating. What did the president propose? He proposed that they flip a switch. He proposed to American society, you're not here to consume. You're here to contribute. I've oftentimes, periodically, had this thought spiritually. Ask not what God can do for me. Ask God what I can do for him. One of the differentials between a young, early Christian and somebody who's maturing like a fine wine in the faith, they recognize the difference between existing to consume or existing to contribute. You and I were created to contribute. You and I were created to make a difference. You and I aren't wasted. I know there's times we get in front of that mirror and we ask God, what were you thinking? And almost audibly, God answers back and said, no, Paul, what were you thinking with them French fries and the cheese and the bacon at Outback? How many of you need some lunch right about now? But I mean this sincerely. One of the lies I recognize that the enemy uses against our life is you're worthless, you don't matter, you're insignificant, nothing you say or do will ever make a difference. And it weakens our faith, it cripples our future, and it's a lie that can really leverage all that God has for us. And I'm here today to turn that on its head. Whether it's for you personally, maybe it's for you inviting us into the greater story here at Hillside, but more than anything, it's that you would leave knowing, by golly, I have been created to contribute. Created to contribute. There are seasons, and a natural, healthy part of life is consuming. Like, y'all need to eat. I know we've been fasting, it's only 21 days, but some of y'all, you know, you got to eat to keep strength, keep fueled. But don't buy the lie that you're just here to take a seat. Don't buy the lie that you're just here to receive. No, you've got something to contribute. You were created to be a contributor. I love going back to Genesis. I know we've been doing that quite a bit in this series, but Genesis, it holds so much truth for God's vision and plan for our lives, but also the life of the world. God never created humanity haphazardly on accident. No, remember with me, God spoke into the void. It was without image. It was without structure. It was without order, and God spoke a vision. Well, notice what he does for Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, It said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. In context, yes, God's giving Adam and Eve some literal vision. But don't miss the forest for the trees. God is breathing that vision upon all of humanity. He's letting them know that you were saved best for last. We're the final piece of creation. He looked at us and said, man, it is good. You are good. And then, bloop, next thing. I didn't just create you to wing it. I didn't create you just to exist. I created you on purpose for a purpose. You are a contributor. Think of our personal lives. Aren't you grateful for people who've contributed to where you are today? I think of around this time of year when schools get going, things get kicking back in, I think about school teachers. What contributors? What are the most selfless titles? Teacher. You think about their class prep. I've got a sister who's a teacher in Oklahoma. She is making me well aware of her sacrifices of the time and the energy and the effort. She was sending us pictures on our phone of her office, and all I could think was, man, I wish I had you as my teacher in high school. You got lounge chairs, coffee makers. Man, she gives, she sacrifices, she great, she goes above and beyond. Why? Why? What's the end game? Contribute to the success of the future. Think with me over this year. I think we all recognize how grateful we are for the healthcare workers on the front line. Amen, somebody? I mean, think about when a nurse, when a doctor, when an individual signs up to be ministering the hands and feet of Christ on the front of death's door, how many of you know they got a vision and a purpose for their life? It's remarkable. It's remarkable. And we celebrate them, their faithfulness. And what's happening? What happened? Well, a seed was sown that my life is going to contribute. It's going to make a difference. I was talking with somebody earlier this week, and they were telling me about how they had heard this story at an AA meeting. They had heard this story of a temporary sponsor. And what they mean is this person, every member in recovery in AA has a sponsor. They have somebody, a mentor, somebody holding them accountable, speaking words of life. Well, how this one guy had so many men, and then somebody else said, man, I need a sponsor. And he said, listen, here, I'll be your temporary sponsor. I'll sponsor you to get up, get going. And 14 years later, he was still his temporary sponsor. It was remarkable. It's remarkable the thread that is in humanity. The sacrificial love of humanity is a beautiful thing. Each of us has been marked by somebody who contributed into their life. I distinctly remember in years gone by, a youth leader, in all my awkwardness as a teen, coming alongside of me, speaking words of life, letting me know that God loved me, letting me know that God had a purpose, that Paul, your life's not a waste. You're not a mistake. You don't have to go the trend of culture, but you can buck the system. You can be a rebel to the ways of the world. Some just small conversations. We've lost track, so I've never been able to follow up with him. But if I could, I would go back and tell him, man, you have no idea what you contributed to my soul. I think of yourself, the contribution you bring to the table. Do you know your words are helping shape another's life? You know, in your workplace, you're an encouragement to the people around you. Do you know you may just be the difference maker God sent into their life? They have no idea, but you're about to pray for them. You're about to invite them to church. You're about to bless them with a coffee card. You're about to take them out to lunch. Can I tell you, what is that? That's God reminding us we were created to contribute. We are most alive not when we're consuming, but when we're giving our lives away for the sake of Christ. Paul the Apostle is writing to an early church in the book of Ephesians. It's to Ephesus. And a letter like this would come, if you're ever reading the New Testament, I can maybe give you a little context, breathe a little life for you. Paul was an evangelist. Paul would go around planting churches. And oftentimes, culture didn't like that, so they would lock him up in prison. And so Paul knew as he would see it as a good thing. It was like, man, there's no better place for me to be. I've been wanting to write these letters to these churches. Now I have time to do it. And so from prison, he would write letters to churches, early followers of Christ, people who had lived a life of wickedness and now found the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was active in their life. And so he would write these letters to them. Ephesians is a letter. It's Paul writing to this early church. And in Ephesians chapter 2, I know it'll come up on the screens. I'm going to get there myself. But in Ephesians chapter 2, he starts in verse 8. He says, hey, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to take it easy, to enjoy the high life, to perpetually live a life of comfort, of cleanliness, and to experience everything America could ever offer you. So help me God. On some days, how many of you can't help yourself? Yeah. But God brings us back in, and Paul says, no, that may be your vision for your life, but I've got a vision from God for your life. And so he whispers, note this, he whispers into the recesses of our soul because he knows we are desperate to hear somebody tell us. And he says, I saved you by grace. You can't earn it. You can't strive towards it. Listen, it's a gift so that none of you can boast. But notice the second part of that equation is this. You have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to contribute in the kingdom of God. Well, when can I start? Today's a good day. You weren't set free. You weren't, listen, come on, some of you've shared some of your story, and I ain't gonna sell you out right now. But you look back at how and what God did in your life, and it's crazy. Like it's Mission Impossible number 7. But God moved heaven and earth to find you. He brought you the family you were born into. I mean, it may feel like God has set you up for failure. No. He knew the where, the when, the how, and the why of your existence. And sometimes we just need a good old-fashioned reminder that the good news set us free and it set us apart for good works. You were created to contribute. I love it. So this letter would go around to these early followers of Christ, this early church. And y'all, everybody says, man, I just want a biblical church. No, you don't. You don't want one of these early church things going on. You want a refined church. But the early church, Paul's writing, and there was mess after mess after mess. But what you'll find in time and time and time again in Paul's letters was vision, 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 vision. I'm persecuted. I just got beat. As Paul would say, I got beat by rods. I'm chained. Things are not going well. There are thorns in my flesh. There's struggling. Man, people aren't taking care of me. You know, they're not liking my Facebook posts. I got blocked. Let's just be honest for a moment. Is there anything worse than being blocked on Facebook? I propose there is not, but I digress. Paul, he's feeling the persecution. He's feeling the pain. The prayer requests are not being answered. But instead of disillusionment, he's diving into what God has called him to do. And so he can't help write to Ephesus in the most hostile, demonic, oppressive region. And he says, you've been saved by grace and set apart to contribute to the kingdom of God. And God would say that over your life today. He will look at the baggage and he doesn't think about it nearly like you do. He said, man, I set you free. I've set you apart and I'm breathing a purpose. I'm breathing a life that your life is not wasted. Your life is not wasted. God is not haphazard. He's not collecting thoughts. He's not running around thinking, man, did we make a mistake, Jesus? And then they're convincing one another, no. They look at you and they see that you have a hope and you have a future. And some of you need to be reminded today that God has not forgotten about you. Don't let an unanswered prayer request get in the way. Don't let some offense get in the way. Shake it off and find yourself reminded, man, by the end of the day, I'm gonna believe it. You are created to contribute. Your life was created to make a difference. 17 words by JFK shaped the nation. Can I tell you, one chapter of the Gospel of Matthew has shaped the course of Christianity because people chose to believe what Jesus said. I know what the lies of the enemy sound like. I'm well aware you have nothing to offer. Your words, they're not that important. Your prayers, they never work. In fact, when you start praying, things get worse. Come on, anybody else found that? It's like, man, I should have just let that alone. Like, I don't touch that is what I should have done, but here I am. The enemy convinces. So many times, one of the lies is you think the enemy's coming to trip you up, to get you to misbehave. No. That's not how the enemy gets you. The enemy gets us when he can accuse us of our past, when he can accuse us of our wrongdoing. The enemy wants us perpetually on a hamster wheel where we will never measure up. And it's the lie, it's the spider web of the enemy that gets so many believers stuck. Come on. God doesn't think so highly of your sin as you do. He sees not the problem, he sees the potential over your life. You don't have to live. You can choose to live crippled with vision. You can choose to just hit a ceiling and go back down. Or you can choose to let that seed of hope rise within your heart. But the lies of the enemy, come on. You're looking at somebody who's discounted himself. You're looking at somebody who said, man, I don't measure up. You're looking at somebody who said, my words are not that valuable. They're not that important. Listen, the enemy lies and lies and lies. I was listening to a podcast several months ago, and in the podcast, there was a famous preacher. And he was talking to a group of leaders, and he said, how many of you in the last 6 months have thought of quitting? And I won't name names, but this really, perhaps one of the most popular preachers in the entire nation, certainly younger in their 30s, had in the last 6 months, he raised his hand and thought, man, I thought of quitting. What is that? What is that? If you go to their social media, everything's perfect. If you go to their social media, everything's great. I mean, this guy's so good, he's got professional photographers taking pictures. I mean, it's like, and I don't fault him for that. Fine, that's great. But what is that? It's one whisper from the enemy over his soul. It's one lie to say, man, it's not that big of a difference. And can I tell you, from day one, the enemy has been whispering that over humanity. From day one, the lies of the enemy have come as darts attacking his faithful followers. Think about your friends that were in the faith and are now far from the faith, and I promise you, somewhere in the line, it wasn't even that they were sinning or doing things that were bad. It was that they somehow lost track of how valuable they were to God. Somehow they discounted themselves out of God's vision over their life. Welcome to Hillside. I refuse to let that happen to you. Come back next week for more. You need people. You need people in your life. That's one of the touches on our church, man. We will encourage you till it hurts. I'm just playing. But I mean, seriously. It's not just encourage. It's shake off the lies and every stronghold that is holding you back. We are set free by the Holy Spirit and Christ's work on the cross. And it has grafted us in to the story that is unfolding in God's kingdom. And we get to contribute towards it. I know what it can be like to discount yourself. I was looking at somebody who discounted themselves. They were gathered round at the NFL draft in the year 2000. And like what we get access to now, we didn't have in those days. Now you get to see the top draft picks. Now you get to see the video camera on everybody. Now you get to hear all the interviews. Well, this particular family had gathered round in their living room. They were sitting there, and this particular gentleman's parents were hoping for the best. Come on, as parents do. And they were excited about this prospect. First round, nothing. They thought, yeah, well, we didn't anticipate that. We thought it'd be second or third round. Nothing happened. In fact, six quarterbacks were drafted before Tom Brady was picked 199th overall. I know we don't like Tom Brady. It's like a curse word in Indiana. Seriously, I was looking at my notes and I thought, I don't know if I can say it. So just let the example work. But could you imagine some of the thoughts running through his mind? Could you imagine some of the difficulty he had to overcome? I wonder how many 199th draft picks we have in this room watching online or who will hear this message. And God saying, 199th? Are you first on my list? You're my child. I named you before you even knew what a name was. I factored in your missteps, your mistakes, and I called you a masterpiece. And come on, we're going to work it. You're going to get some Super Bowl rings because you're called to contribute. I think of the story of Gideon. Have you ever heard the story of Gideon? Oh, man, I resonate with Gideon. Come on, anybody with good old-fashioned self-esteem issues, Gideon is your guy. Just being a little transparent with you. And some of you are like, this pastor, too many issues. I ain't coming back. No, that's a lie. All right. Gideon in Judges 6. I think I love the story because it's such a picture of our life. Gideon's threshing wheat in a wine press. Those two things don't go together. But he was having to take care of his family and his community in a hidden place. Because the Moabites would attack them when they were most vulnerable. And you're quite vulnerable when you're threshing wheat. But I digress. An angel of the Lord finds Gideon. He says, Gideon, man of valor. Mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks up and says, who what? Where? What you talking about? What? He starts listing how God hasn't come through. I'm like, don't converse with an angel. Just receive the blessing. If you see it in the Bible, just don't make the same mistake. But he does. He says, man, if God's for us, well, look at this and look at that and look at this. I love the angel of the Lord, by the way. And the angel of the Lord, he doesn't have time for that. He said, no, God has come to you, mighty warrior. And you will lead this people to freedom. And isn't that such a word? Judges 6:12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Judges 6:15, pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I'm the 199th draft pick, God. What do I have to bring to the table? You plus God is a majority. You plus God is a majority. You may feel like, man, my life is a waste. My parents, they fake it to make it. But I know deep down, they don't think I'm accomplishing much. My best friends don't think I'm accomplishing much. What is my purpose? What is my plan? God comes to you. He said, mighty warrior, woman of valor, woman of strength, you've been called and anointed and apportioned for such a time as this. You may not have all the answers. You may not know all the next steps, but your daily bread will be more than enough. And I will lead you from a place right now in the wilderness to the promised land of destiny over your life. Don't lose heart. It's what God does to us. It's what God does to us. Now, with the remaining moments, I want to tie what on earth I just said to this series. You're welcome for what comes next. More than anything, my prayer for you is that you will know that you were created to contribute. You won't discourage yourself, and you certainly won't fall for the comparison trap. You don't have to look to the contributions of the people to your left, to the contributions of the people to your right. You are responsible for you and what God is calling you to do. Social media, man, it can be a dream buster. You could watch television, it could just be a dream buster. I think much of what we find in our society today when it is rooted in depression and anxiety, most often I see it being a comparison trap because people lose sight of how uniquely and wonderfully made by God they are. Why? You have been set apart. God has called you. And I'll wrap up in just a few moments, but today you're here because all around you are people, and you're one of them, who are contributing to the cause of our vision. We're going to celebrate 5 years next Sunday. These past 5 years haven't been possible because of coffee, because of donuts, because of chairs, because of walls, certainly not because of air conditioning or heating. It's possible because people contributed to make a difference. Something happens in the life of a believer when they dive into a local church and flip the switch from consumer to contributor. Everybody has seasons. I have seasons. There's sometimes you just need to consume. There's sometimes life has been so hard. People have said such things to you. You're exhausted, you're burned out, you're hurt, or maybe you're new to the faith and you need to dive in and be discipled and grow before you start contributing. There are moments that you consume. But I'm inviting you to make a pledge over your life that you will, may not be today, but in the coming weeks ahead, you will pledge to make a shift from only consuming to also contributing to the life of people around you. We didn't move into this facility day one. We moved into this facility after two years. We used to do setup and tear down at a school. Oh, good. There was no collective groan. Yeah, because none of you were there, okay? No, I'm kidding. I'm not bitter. I'm better. I'm not bitter. I'm better. I had to get pastoral counseling purely because of the setup team alone. Like, everybody's training you. I'm talking to other pastors and all these different things. I'm like, man, that's incredible. We can grow every team but the setup team. What is going on? But it was okay. It was okay. Everybody contributes, as I'm about to share, in a different way. In a different way. Not bitter, I'm better. But I mean this sincerely. We didn't start here. Hey, can I encourage you? We ain't going to end here either. We're going to end here. We have a vision to be larger. We have a vision. As long as there are lost people out there, we got space in here and wherever else the Lord leads. We do. We do. It's getting a little uncomfortable in here in the spiritual. I think God's going to lead us to people who need a church, don't you? I think God's going to lead us this week into some lost people who need to hear the hope of Jesus. But nonetheless, you've been called and created to contribute. And I'm telling you, people, we found, I call them the three T's. Just let them sink into your spirit. Let them sink into your mind. Let me speak a little vision to you. We are here and where we are going because people have chosen to give them of their time, of their talent, and of their treasure. Somewhere you've experienced something today from someone else's sacrifice. Me too. Me too. Our worship team, they spent 2 hours on Wednesday. I was playing Barbies for 2 hours on Wednesday evening with my daughter. Can I tell you? The team's got it. They're doing great. They're growing. We got to celebrate. Man, I don't know. Sometimes you've been in places. Let me tell you, write notes. Allow the presence of God to work. No, I'm kidding. But they practiced. They work hard. Their sacrifice contributed to what we get to experience in the presence of God. Don, I see you back there. Philip, I see you. Mitch, I see you. Jonathan, I see you back there. These guys, y'all may not know this. Y'all may not know this. You're just like, man, COVID, look, man, we got online church. Some of y'all contributed, made that possible. Some of you, Don. Don's here almost every Saturday. Alex, I know you'll be back soon. You're taking us in online. We got so many people who just contribute, just giving of their time. Why? Why? So they chose to believe. Going and making disciples was worth sacrificing for. We're able to be in the seats. I'll never forget. Kelly went out of town. This was several years ago. Kelly went out of town with our girls to visit our family in Alabama, and I got to watch some of what I like to watch. And it was a Friday night, and I was able to put on some of the best movies out there, the Bourne trilogy. And I was watching a Bourne movie. Some of you are like, it's been good so far. My spirit's been connecting, but you, Jason Bourne, what? But anyhow, I was watching the latest Jason Bourne. Back then, it was several years ago, and I was sitting there, and I was just getting my mind off of the pressures. We were moving from that building, and we're moving into this facility. And as oftentimes that happens with any kind of building project or renovating project, which is what we had, there's thousands of dollars needed to be raised. And there's some pressures, and there are just some things in life, but how many of you know God's greater, God's bigger, and he always blesses our rest. Anxiety and fear dispel faith. Rest and peace invite faith. Jason Bourne falls into that rest and peace category for me. So, Jason Bourne's doing all of his stuff, and it's happening, and I get this call. I'm like, who invades me on a Friday evening when my family's out of town? You're like, who takes the call? I did. And the person on the other end of the line, they're like, man, we've been praying. We've been thinking about, we know you're moving in the school. We know y'all just got started only a couple years in, but we want to cut a check. I said, man, that's awesome. And then they said the amount. And I passed out and woke back up. And they said, I'll tell you, it was $15,000. It was just incredible. And I was like, God, I don't even get to say I helped manufacture that. He totally removed me from the equation. Why? Because God believes in any church fulfilling his vision. God will bring the seed for the need, any one-liner you want to use. But I will say this, somebody chose somewhere along the line to contribute. You want to know what? They've got treasure in eternity. Because even as last week, people getting saved, people rededicating their life for Christ. Your contribution doesn't have to be that. Are you kidding me? It can be, in your eyes, small, but in God's eyes, he can work a miracle. Time, talent, treasure. Time, talent, treasure. When that trifecta gets working in your life, the sacrifice is always met by God. King Solomon, I've had a few rabbit trails today. Forgive me. It's a vision series. It's going to happen. A lot of people love that King Solomon asked for wisdom. My parents used to smack me upside the head and say, Solomon asked for wisdom, Paul. Quit asking for money. Quit asking for dinner. Quit ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. But you know, I learned a lesson later on in life. Several years after that, I learned the lesson. God visited Solomon and offered him wisdom after the greatest sacrifice Israel had ever made to God. That entire day, thousands of an animal sacrifice were made to God. That night, God visited. Can I tell you? God's going to meet you at your contribution. He's going to meet you there. He's going to bless it. He's going to exceed it. That word that you need to say to somebody else, and you're thinking, man, it's just so casual. It's just my voice. My voice doesn't matter. I'm telling you, your voice in the hands of God is the voice of God to people. John chapter 6, Gospel of John chapter 6. Everybody has something to contribute. Everybody has something to contribute. Every time you give of your time, every time you give of your talent, every time you bring your tithe to the storehouse or you go above and beyond, can I tell you, it makes a difference. The next generation, the lost, every time you give, I want to tell you, God can do a miracle. John chapter 6, the title of the subject matter says, Jesus feeds the 5,000. It kind of excites us because of the big 5,000. You don't get the 5,000 without the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. You just don't. You don't. A little boy was ransacked by one of the disciples. I'm taking your lunch today. A little different to Zacchaeus. I'm coming to your lunch. No, they said, I'm taking your lunch today. The master needs it. They're dumbfounded. They're like, Jesus, we know you do a lot of good things. We know you're healing everybody. You're raising the dead. You're setting people free. You're saving them. You're getting them on a life worth living. Man, you keep doing what you do. And then every time he's like, hey, let me stretch your faith. What have we got for lunch? Nothing. But then, verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. Hey, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus takes the little bit of faith and he says, tell the people to sit down. You know, it's a little bit like Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance? You know, it's a... You're telling me there's a chance. Yeah, Jesus will take what we have. Breathe life. Some of you may be wrestling with going into another day at work. Some of you may be wrestling with pushing forward in a relationship, in a friendship. I'm here to tell you, God is up to good things. God is up to good things. Put it in his hands. And let's see what he can do. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There were plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. You are created to contribute. God would say in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Every contribution you make into the life of another is a partnership in faith with God. Have that conversation with your teenager you've been avoiding. Send that text to your neighbor and invite them to church. Get that sponsor in your life if you need it. Show up. Give of your time. Give of your talent. You may not know this. You can approach us if you want to contribute on one of our teams. Like, we'll take you. Some of you need to hear that. You have something to offer. You say, man, I don't know what my giftings are. And I say, come to our growth track. Take a spiritual test. Let's find out how God wired you. We'll also throw in your personality for the sake of your loved ones. You can find out that, why you say what you do. Join a small group. The vision of your life is determined by the voices in your life. I hope today, I mean this, by the work of God, I hope today I was able to spark a fire in your heart. You matter to the kingdom of God. Nothing you have done is irredeemable when Jesus shows up. He makes a masterpiece out of a big old mess. He's going to use you to set others free. You've been created on purpose with a purpose. In this moment, just with our eyes closed, I want us to do something. Eyes closed so nobody's looking. I want us to take our hands and just put them in front of you, kind of cup them like this. I know I said eyes closed. See me, then close eyes. Those watching online, come on, you do it too. And I want us to say these words. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And here's what I just want you to picture in your mind's eye. The five fish and the two loaves. Because I believe even today, people's destiny is changing with this prayer. Let's say this together. Here I am, God. I know you'll take me. I've been wired for purpose to take your gospel to the world around me. I've discounted my voice. I've discounted my gifts. But I'm coming clean today. I will contribute. I will see myself as a contributor. Here's my life. Take all of me and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray a blessing over your people. It was a holy time in your presence, God. I thank you for your word that sets us free. Some of us have been bound by a visionless life. We felt like, God, we're just winging it. But I thank you, God, that we are a people of destiny. We've been given a calling and a purpose, and you've apportioned our days for right now to make a difference. We know we were created to contribute, Lord, and we want to step into that in every way. Thank you, Lord. If you're here and would like to give your life to Christ, say this prayer with me. Dear God, I need you. I recognize that you are the Savior of the world. I repent of my sins, and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I trust you in my present, and I'm stepping into my future by your grace, fill of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we celebrate God's goodness one more time today? So good. God is so good. Some of y'all are looking really hungry. I want to invite you. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to thank you so much for being with us, worshiping with us. Hear me, your best days are ahead. Have a wonderful Sunday, and we'll see you next week as we celebrate our 5-year anniversary. Love you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Hillside Sermon of the Week. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, help us continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at hillsidechurch.us/give. And don't forget, we meet every Sunday at 10:30 at 4810 Grantline Road in New Albany.